In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues Etc.
Well, the picture is of not only military and political conquest by fire and the sword, but also conversion by fire and the sword. You've seen the pictures, the depictions of the Vikings, and we're told, and seems to be almost unchallenged, that the advancement of Christianity in this era, so long ago, was done by violence and force. Is that true? We're going to talk about the Vikings and the advancement of Christianity here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, October the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. 1-877-623-MYIE is our call-in number. 1-877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio with questions or comments. talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us with questions or comments at @issuesetc. We'll talk about the Vikings and the advancement of Christianity with Lars Walker, author of an historical novel titled West Oversea, a Norse Saga of Mystery, Adventure, and Faith, in the first half hour. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us for the second half hour. She always does for teaching a Sunday school lesson. Today, we'll go through the story of Jonah. It's a longer story than is usually told, at least kind of the condensed version that gets told to our Sunday school kids. Dr. Christian Smith will join us to talk about some continuing research he is doing on the religious and spiritual lives of emerging adults. His previous work in research was about the spiritual lives, the religious views of America's teenagers. He came to the conclusion, much heralded in the press, that American teenagers are therapeutic moralistic deists. Have they changed much in the last 5 to 7 years? We'll find out with Dr. Christian Smith in the second hour of the program. Pastor Parker Williamson will join us then. We'll discuss a decision made recently by several congregations in California to exit the Presbyterian Church USA over doctrinal issues. And then, in the last half hour or so of Issues Etc., Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will be our guest. We'll talk about a recent New York Times story about the high price of being a gay couple. She's written about it recently also. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Lars Walker is a librarian and bookstore manager for the schools of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations in Plymouth, Minnesota, author of an historical novel titled West Oversea. Lars, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
How is the story typically told about the advancement of Christianity and the Vikings?
Well, that's an excellent question. What we get, and particularly in Norway, we know the most about Norway because the Icelanders were Norwegian immigrants, and the descendants of the Norwegian immigrants in Iceland wrote down the sagas, which were stories about their ancestors in Norway quite often. And out of that, we have a tremendous book. It's called the Heimskringla, Heimskringla, written by a man named Snorri Sturluson. And he was a genius, and he wrote in the vernacular, which helps a lot. It makes the book a lot more readable. And he wrote this tremendous book about the history of the kings of Norway, in which he gave this kind of epic story about the history of Norway up to his time. But a lot of it had to do with the Viking Age, and particularly with the saga, the epic of the two Olafs, Olaf Tryggvason and Olaf Haraldsson, who you may have heard of as Saint Olaf. And he presented the story as this massive struggle between these two great heroes and the heathen Norwegians who fought them tooth and nail. It appears that that story was somewhat over-dramatized. We know from archaeology that, in particularly in the southwest part of present-day Norway, which is where the hero of my book lives, the heathen graves actually disappear considerably before the time of the Olafs, around the time of a king named Håkon the Good, who is presented in the saga as a kind of a failure. He was raised at the court of King Æthelstan in England and came to Norway as a Christian. And the saga presents him as pretty much having had very little influence. But archaeology indicates that he probably had more effect than we're told, because the saga writers wanted to play up the drama for the two Olafs. And so we've got a much more a story of a cultural change, a peaceful change, largely. Not to say that the violence didn't happen, but there was something else going on here. There was a cultural pressure going on as well, and a gradual conversion to Christianity going on at the same time.
What was the indigenous religion of the Norwegian people before the advent of Christianity?
Well, this, of course, was the old Viking, Old Norse religion, the religion of Odin and Thor, who are the most famous. Frey and Freya were fertility gods. Tyr was a god of war. There were a whole lot of other gods. It was a pagan, heathen is the term they prefer, actually. I know people who worship these gods nowadays, and they like to be called heathens rather than pagans. And they, but it was polytheistic.
And who were the Vikings?
Vikings are Scandinavians living during the Viking Age, which is considered to run from about 793 until 1066. Those aren't really hard and fast limitations, but that's generally where the historians mark it off. There are actually two definitions of Viking, and that is really confusing and causes a whole lot of misunderstanding. For the Vikings themselves, in the original meaning, it meant a pirate, a seaborne warrior, a man who went to sea to make war and to get plunder. But historians have taken up the term, and they use it to refer to the whole age. And so they will talk about Viking women, Viking farms, Viking towns, Viking livestock, so that it becomes a generic term for the period, and that that causes a lot of people to be confused about exactly what they mean. You're always told that the Vikings weren't. Nowadays, people are always saying that the Vikings weren't all that violent. Well, it depends on what meaning you mean. if you use the original meaning, violence was what they were about. If you use the modern historical meaning, of course, they were a culture like any other.
Were the Vikings per se, that kind of that smaller, narrower definition, were they Christian or were they heathen?
Excellent point. They started out as heathens, but gradually they became Christian. The Viking Age is, and that's one of the things that makes it interesting to me. The Viking Age was really the period of conversion for Scandinavia. You talk about the Viking Age, you talk about the time of conversion, basically you're talking about the same thing, which was one of the things that makes it so dramatic.
When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with Lars Walker, librarian and bookstore manager for the schools of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations in Plymouth, Minnesota. He's author of a novel, an historical novel titled West Over Sea, a Norse saga of mystery, adventure, and faith. Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, the 27th of October, 1-877-623-MYIE. 1-877-623-6943. You can email questions or comments to us right here in the studio. talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Or Twitter questions or comments to us @issuesetc. What kind of questions do you have about the Vikings and the spread of Christianity, this great era of Christian conversion in Northern Europe? 1-877-623-MYIE. talkback@issuesetc.org. Or Twitter us @issuesetc. In about 10 minutes, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us here in the first hour. We'll talk about Jonah as we teach a Sunday school lesson. A little bit later, in the second hour of the program, Dr. Christian Smith will be our guest. We'll talk about the religious and spiritual lives of emerging adults. This is the follow-up on his research of American youth. He said they were therapeutic, moralistic deists, America's teenagers. Now he's continued to ask them questions, survey them, and get their views religious and spiritual. He says they're not quite grown up yet. They're still emerging adults. How have their views changed? We'll find out here in about 40 minutes on Issues, etc. 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll talk more about the Vikings and the spread of Christianity after this.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
You're invited this summer to an exploration and study tour of the lives of Martin Luther and J.S. Bach. This tour of Germany will be led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska. See where Luther and Bach were born, lived, worked, and died. For more information on a tour of Germany, June 1st through the 10th, call area code 402-643-7444 or send an email to matthew.phillips@cune.edu.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org, and click Promote, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Vikings and the advancement of Christianity. Lars Walker is our guest. Our call in number 1-877-623-MY-IE or email questions or comments to us here in the studio on this Tuesday afternoon, the 27th of October. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Let's go to the phones in Houston, Texas. Hunter is on the line. Hi, Hunter.
Hi there. Well, I called because I am a huge fan of Lars Walker's work. You know, I read one of his books, I think, The Year of the Warrior, a few years ago, and immediately just had to burn through everything else that he has written, including the current book, West Over Sea. And I called because I had a question for Lars. Lars, there is a tremendous scene in The Year of the Warrior where you have this Christian Viking, Erling, and his priest, I don't know how to pronounce it, Ailill? There you go, Ailill. And they are confronting this guy who still follows the old gods. And it seems that they're kind of tempted to persecute him to kind of get him to fall into line, and ultimately they sort of have to choose another path. How did you conceive that scene, and, you know, what were you thinking when you were sort of thinking about them confronting a follower of the old gods?
Hunter, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Houston.
Well, that's one of the central issues of the series of stories. It's about Erling Skjalgsson is a man who's trying to go a kind of a middle way, and there is historical reasons for believing that it may have been like this. I correspond with a Norwegian historian named Torgrim Tytlestad from the University of Stavanger, who has written some books championing this very idea about Erling, that he and Olaf Tryggvason came to an agreement about the future of Norway. They would make Norway a Christian country, but they would preserve the traditional Norwegian democratic system, which was an assembly and representative system where even the leaders had to be, even the kings had to be chosen or validated by the vote of the free man. And so we're talking about a different way to do Christianity than often was done at the time. You've got an influence coming from Europe, and particularly from the Frankish Empire of Charlemagne, that involved this idea of spreading Christianity by the sword and by torture. And Olaf Tryggvason is presented in the sagas as practicing that. But in collaboration with Erling, he seems to have moved back on that a little bit. And at least that's what Professor Tytlestad thinks. And in dramatizing that, I had to create a scene where Erling is dealing with how he is going to handle a very stubborn and very nasty heathen who is trying to thwart him at every turn. And he actually does make the experiment at first of practicing torture, of trying to get the man to convert by torture, and it's such an awful experience for him that he is turned off it forever. And throughout the rest of the book and on into West Oversea, which is the sequel, he is strongly and forcefully against torture, which is in line with Norwegian law, because traditional Norwegian law there was no place for torture in the legal system.
Insofar as Christianity was sadly spread, if you will, by violence in this time, do we have an idea of what the mind of those who advocated was? What was their justification for spreading Christianity by the sword?
I am not an expert on this point. I understand, I have read that there was a justification in the Roman Catholic Church at the time that said that because salvation is purely an act of God's grace, therefore a forced conversion could be valid. because it was outside the realm of human choice and purely a matter of grace. Difficult to see how that would work out practically, but there seems to have been some justification for it. On the other hand, we know that the monk Alcuin, who was Charlemagne's chief counselor, tried to prevent him from massacring the Saxons. So there was more than one opinion on that subject. But the conversion by the sword paradigm did get used to a certain extent in various parts of Europe.
When the Norse traveled to Iceland and other spots along the kind of the northern rim of the Atlantic Ocean, how did they bring Christianity there?
Well, it depends on who you believe. Actually, the sagas give a remarkable. In Iceland, it's fairly clear, and it's an interesting case. Iceland is actually the only country, as I understand it, in history that ever adopted Christianity purely by parlementary action. The heathens came and the Christians came. They all came to the All Thing, the National Assembly, and it was almost ready to break out in a fight. And the Christians had announced that they weren't going to live under heathen law, and they were going to set up their own separate law, which the leadership rightly understood would be disastrous for the Commonwealth. And so finally they all agreed to settle to an arbitrator. And the arbitrator, who was a heathen, actually spent a day meditating and finally decided that the Icelanders would be Christians, but there would be certain reservations and freedoms allowed to the heathens. And that's how it happened in Iceland, and that's often seen as a kind of a high point, something to be one of the better achievements of Viking civilization. Greenland is supposed to have been evangelized actually by Leif Erikson, who visited Olaf Tryggvason during his short reign and was sent by Olaf to preach the gospel in Greenland. However, scholars today don't think that story is actually true. However, it is likely, it does appear that Leif was a Christian. His father Eric was not. The sagas tell that there was considerable family friction over that.
Did these travelers reach the North American continent? And if so, did they leave behind any evidence we know of early Christian civilization? About a minute and a half here.
Absolutely, they were here. We have proof. There's a place called Lanzo Meadows in Newfoundland. I have been there, where they have excavated, authenticated Viking artifacts. There is, however, not much there, and we don't have anything that is specifically Christian. Again, this was the time of Christianization. I would imagine there were both heathens and Christians there, and gradually becoming all Christians.
Finally, then, with about a minute, tell us about your historical novel, West Oversea.
West Oversea is a story about and a wholly imaginary incident which I have grafted onto the saga of Erling Skjalgsson, who was a real historical character. But I had a spot in his life where I didn't know what to do with him, so I decided to send him to America. And I created a reason for him to voluntarily give up his power and lands in Norway as a matter of honor and doing the right thing. And so he goes, intending to go to Iceland, but because of storms, ends up in Greenland and America, too. And actually, that's wrong. He intends to go to Greenland and ends up in Iceland and America. And has a number of adventures on the way. It is historical fantasy. There is some magic involved, some miracles. I hope that it's an exciting story for the reader.
Folks, you can purchase West Oversea, a Norse saga of mystery, adventure, and faith under the on-demand page of our website tonight at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Westover Sea by Lars Walker. Lars Walker is librarian and bookstore manager for the schools of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations in Plymouth, Minnesota, his latest novel, Westover Sea. Lars, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, and God bless you and all your listeners.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House. We do every Tuesday afternoon. It's our way of helping all those Sunday school teachers out there. Looking forward to Sunday morning with the kids, making preparation for teaching a Sunday school lesson. Today we're going to deal with Jonah. Now, the story of Jonah is a little longer. I mean, speaking of seafaring peoples, Jonah's story couldn't be told without his adventures at sea. We'll see what happens to Jonah and how it is more than just a story that kids love because it involves all the storms at sea and the big fish and the traveling hither and yon. There's so much more of Jesus Christ in Jonah than is often told by Sunday school teachers. We'll help our Sunday school teachers among our listeners prepare to do just that. Proclaim Christ through Jonah on the other side of this break. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us with questions or comments right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues, etc. online at issuesetc.org.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If your 13-year-old daughter was part of a clinical trial involving experimental drugs, you'd want to know, wouldn't you? I think any red-blooded American parent would be furious to find out otherwise. But that's just the case with Planned Parenthood's clinical trials. They're conducting many of them, often at taxpayers' expense, and here's the kicker. There's no requirement for parental consent, even though they involve girls as young as 13. Some of the trials target African American women. Planned Parenthood is no stranger to secrecy and deception, and parents have long been out of the loop by careful design. More and more people are thinking ACORN when they think of Planned Parenthood, and they're wondering why they get huge chunks of our tax dollars.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.